Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. Plus, you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. Hi, and welcome to the show. Today, I want you to imagine that you have a hobby that you love with all your heart. It could be cooking, painting, geocaching, yarn bombing. You know when you see those lampposts decorated with knitting? Even extreme ironing is a passion for some people. Whatever your hobby, imagine one day you can't do it anymore. Not because you stopped loving it, but because the world isn't built for you to do it. What would you do? Give up? Feel sorry for yourself? Or find another way? That's the situation my guest, Debbie North, found herself in. A lifelong walker who suddenly couldn't walk and yet refused to stop exploring. For Debbie and her husband, Andy, walking wasn't just exercise. It was love. It was freedom. It was the deep kind of togetherness that only happens when you're walking in nature. But when illness changed everything, Debbie found a new path. One that would lead her to create the charity Access the Dales and become the UK's disability ambassador for the countryside. Because here's the thing, walking heals us, body, mind and soul. But for millions, that simple act isn't simple at all. According to the Office of National Statistics, in the UK, nearly one in four people were reported to have a disability in 2022. So where are they? You don't often see them. On the fells, in the forests, on the beaches. Not because they don't want to be there, but because the countryside still shuts them out. Today, on There's a Walk for That, we'll explore how one woman's loss became a national movement to open up the outdoors for everyone, and why we all deserve the chance to find healing and freedom under an open sky. So my guest today is founder and CEO of the charity Access the Dales, Debbie North. So hello, Debbie. Welcome to There's a Walk for That. I'd love it if you can start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your story and how the charity Access the Dales came about.
Yeah, so as you've introduced me, I'm Debbie North. I am at the moment, I'm the disability ambassador for the countryside, which is a three-year post. I'm coming towards the end of that, which has been really interesting, working with government ministers of how we, you know, what the situation is now regarding accessibility for people with disabilities into the countryside and really where we want to go from here. So there is a lot happening actually at national level, but at the moment it all seems to be talk and very little action. So it's dependent on groups that are lobbying to say that we want change for access to the countryside by, you know, looking at sort of the man-made boundaries and barriers, such as stiles, gates, width of paths, etc. But also one of the biggest barriers is the cost of all-terrain wheelchairs. And anybody that's heard me speak before will know that I use the analogy of wheelchairs being my shoes. So my everyday manual wheelchair is my comfy black flat shoes that I wear on my pumps, you know, that I wear, that I feel comfortable in, that I don't really notice that I've got them on because they cause me no blisters. And that's really good for everyday use. But like a walker who would not go out in their everyday shoes into the hills, they would wear either, you know, a firm walking shoe. There are different all-terrain wheelchairs that are the different gradients of footwear for the outdoors. So there are shoes that are a good, comfortable, sturdy all-terrain wheelchair, right up to the Four Seasons hiking boots, which is the one that I love using, is the terrain hopper that gets me to the tops of mountains and takes me on expeditions that I want to do. But they are so, so expensive. And also transporting them around, not everybody's got the capacity to have a vehicle that can take an all-terrain wheelchair in. So there are lots of different barriers.
I just love that shoe analogy, how for wheelchair users, your chair is your footwear, your way into the wild. And it makes perfect sense. Every hiker knows the ritual questions. What boots do you wear? How heavy is your pack? There's small talk, sure, but they're also a kind of code, a quiet nod between adventurers who understand that the right gear can open up the world. For wheelchair users, it's no different. Your chair becomes your boots, your route to freedom. But before we get into all of this, before we talk about terrain and design and accessibility, I want to go back to a time when Debbie and her husband Andy were walking the hills of Yorkshire together, side by side, on their own 2 feet. When the hills weren't obstacles, but invitations to wander.
There was one question I wanted to ask, which I know before you were a wheelchair user, you were able-bodied and you and Andy used to walk a lot in the Dales. And I just wonder if you can tell us what that meant to you, what it brought to your partnership.
Oh, it was the love of the outdoors was a bond. It was, you know, there were times we both had busy lives. Andy was a deputy head teacher in Calderdale. I was head. So we both had, you know, full-on jobs, but the weekends were our time with our children, or just as a couple, or even with friends. And there were times when we were out on the fells and we didn't speak to each other. It was that comfortable silence. You know, he was wrapped up in his thoughts, I was wrapped up in my thoughts. So you could have that solitude. You could sit on a mountaintop by yourself. One of the daft things we used to do is get in the car at 3 o'clock in the morning so we could be on top of a mountain for the sunrise. It was that closeness because we had something common that we shared together. It just cemented our relationship. Outdoors was us. You know, we got married in our walking boots. I had a beautiful dress on with my mucky old walking boots on because that was what brought us together.
Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
That beautiful piece of music we were listening to before the break is Walk by Tycho, and I think it perfectly captures what Debbie and Andy loved most. That quiet companionship of walking in nature where no words are needed. Welcome back to UK Health Radio. I'm Harriet Thomas and this is There's a Walk for That. And today I'm talking with Debbie North, CEO of Access the Dales and the UK's Disability Ambassador for the Countryside. When we left Debbie, she'd just married, walking boots tucked under her beautiful wedding dress. But then life shifted. Debbie became a wheelchair user. And the walks that she and Andy had taken for granted suddenly weren't possible. And with that change came a new challenge, not just for Debbie, but for anyone who's ever loved being outdoors and found it out of reach.
So I started blogging back in 2011 when I became a wheelchair user. Prior to that, I was a very keen hill walker. When I couldn't walk, it had effect on not just myself, but on my family as well. My husband stopped walking because he said it wasn't the same without his walking partner. And that's how we started researching about all-terrain wheelchairs. Never even heard of them. You know, I was coming to terms with using the manual wheelchair. Never knew about all-terrain wheelchairs that had the capacity to go over rougher terrain. But when I did start discovering that they were out there, it was the price of them, the inaccessibility to be able to move them about. And so I blogged about it and I called the blog Access the Dales. But then in 2021, devastation hit family again when my husband passed away with a very aggressive form of cancer. And we decided that we'd change my blog into a charity as a legacy to Andy, so that Andy would always be remembered that he was the one who liked to go out into the hills. And the reason we set up the charity is the impact that having wheelchairs in different locations for different people to use not only impacted on the person with the disability, but once again, the companions, the carers, the family, the friends were all going out together in a group. We expected it to be a small charity, just simply based in the Yorkshire Dales, which was like our home that where we loved to wander on the hills. But we've expanded since then. So in the sort of 3 years of infancy that the charity has been going, we've managed to secure funding for different things. One is to expand into the Forest of Bowland National Landscape, and we're now working with Nidderdale. So we've gone from beyond the Yorkshire Dales, and we're spreading out sort of this part of the country, Nidderdale, Forest of Bowland, with all-terrain wheelchairs in different locations, different types of all-terrain wheelchairs, which is probably our unique selling point, because there are charities around the country that are doing something similar, like Countryside Mobility, like Outdoor Mobility, but they tend to use one type of wheelchair, whereas we're using different wheelchairs for different terrains, for different abilities, and say that is our unique point. But one of the things that we are really, really enjoying doing and getting grants for is getting people who have not really ever accessed the countryside for one reason or another, whether it's that fear of the unknown, that they don't know where they can go, they don't know what the reception is going to be like when they get there. And so we've got lots of funding to hold people's hands and to show them what is possible with a little bit of planning, with a little bit of guts and courage to make that first step. So we've had groups with autism out with us. We've taken groups of people with visual impairment. We've got a group of hearing impairment coming out onto the Settle Carlisle train. We've done festivals for showing what is possible. We've got a lovely festival that is purely for children with disabilities and their families, based at Gisborne Forest in Lancashire. And that is a celebration of, with just a little bit of careful planning, people that are providing activities for outdoors, such as bushcraft, such as charcoal drawing, such as storytelling in the woods, mini bug hunts, orienteering, but just with a little bit more thought around disabled access to those kind of events, how we can make it more inclusive and eventually get more and more people outdoors.
Brothers and sisters, insist we're just not good enough. Well, we know better. Just look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. Something inside so strong. And I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You know that my pride was wrong. Oh no. There's something inside so strong. Oh, something inside so strong.
The amazing Lavi Siffre with Something Inside So Strong. Lavi Siffre has always been a powerful advocate for people who face disadvantage. That's why I think this song is the perfect anthem for Debbie, who through illness and bereavement has worked tirelessly to break down barriers so that everyone can experience the joy and healing of being in nature, regardless of physical or mental ability.
As you can tell, Harriet, I'm very passionate about it.
I found when, you know, when I was looking at your website, I felt teary, to be honest, because I thought for myself, walking is essential. You know, I really depend on it for my mental well-being and my physical well-being. And if I don't walk, you know, I soon start to feel the pressure. You know, I soon get tense, I get cranky. And I mean, your website is fantastic. It's so clear where all the buggies are that you can use, which I think is incredible. The fact that someone can just go to a location and book a buggy and use that buggy. And then you have all your different walks listed very clearly and, you know, or everything that anyone needs to know about the walks. And some of them, yes, look more gentle, you might call it. But others are you know, they're serious. You're right out in the hills. You know, you're out in nature. And your motto, I think, is to make the inaccessible accessible.
Accessible, absolutely. And that's been it since sort of 2011 when, you know, I lost the ability to go hill walking, and that's been a mission that we're taking forward. And this is why we've got the different grades of wheelchairs. So we are finding that people are going to, say, Aethgarth for a start, because people know Aethgarth Falls, you know, they know Malham Cove, they are national iconic places to go to. I'm borrowing the wheelchairs there, probably for the first time. It's not a hard walk, but for some, that is the first time that they've been outside. So then they might then book somewhere a little bit more remote, because we are not all about honeypot places. We've got a fantastic hub up on the foothills of the Howgills. You can go out there on the tramper and not meet a soul. And it's rugged and it's just amazing. I mean, the landscape, the scenery is 360 degrees. But that is like really getting outdoors. You can go out there in Schoenhoppe and have the solitude, the tranquility of a landscape that would otherwise be inaccessible to people with, mobility issues. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, one farm has built an accessible bird hide. So you can go in there with the mobility scooter and spend hours just filming them, taking shots of them, or just, you know, watching the birds. It's that sense of it is possible.
What do you think the positive impact is for people with disabilities?
Well, it goes right back to your first statement that you said, you haven't been outside today and you are feeling the effects of it mentally, physically. You said your zen is down. People talk about vitamin nature and the positive impacts of being outdoors. I've suffered mental health issues with losing my husband. You know, I still suffer. I have really good days, and then other days it's very dark and I feel lonely. I feel angry that he's gone. I go through so many emotions. But when I am outdoors, I feel uplifted. I can feel that sense of, yeah, I can get to the end of today. Even if I'm just spending 10 minutes outside in the garden, outside in green space, It uplifts me. I know it generates positivity. And I think a lot of people are feeling like that, especially, you know, we're going through all the pressures of government decisions about disability and, you know, all the cutbacks. And it's all about work-related things that are happening at the moment about getting people with disabilities back to work, supporting them in the workplace. But we've also got to remember about supporting them in the playground of life, in the downtime. What do we do then? How do we support people, both mentally and physically?
I'm leaving home for the coastline, someplace under the sun. I feel my heart for the first time, 'cause now I'm moving on, yeah, I'm moving on. And there's a place that I've dreamed of, where I can free my mind. I hear the sounds of the season and lose all sense of time. I'm moving far away to a sunny place where it's just you and me. Feels like we're in a dream, you know what I mean. The summer air by the seaside, the way it fills our lungs. The fire burns in the night sky, this life will keep us young, yeah, keep us young. Sleep by the ocean, our hearts will move with the tide, and we will wake in the morning to see the sun. just like we're in a dream. You know what I'm moving far away to a sunny place where it's just you and me. Feels like we're in a dream. You know what I mean.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to UK Health Radio. I'm Harriet Thomas and this is There's a Walk for That. And today I'm talking with Debbie North, CEO of Access the Dales and the UK's Disability Ambassador for the Countryside. Before the break, Debbie was explaining how her charity makes the outdoors truly open to everyone by placing all-terrain wheelchairs across the Yorkshire Dales and the Forest of Bowland, offering inspiration for accessible adventures. But this isn't just a niche issue. It's far bigger than that. Remember that 1 in 4 figure of people in the UK who are living with a disability today. And each one of those people has friends, family, or carers who are part of that story too. That is a lot of people, and we are all part of this story. What Debbie and others like her are offering isn't just access to paths and views. It's access to joy, to purpose, and to living fully. And as we're about to hear, Debbie's been meeting people all over the country whose stories show exactly that.
Yeah, something that I haven't mentioned is that I was commissioned to write a book for Bloomsbury Press. Basically, I've been going around the country from top of Scotland down to Cornwall, meeting people who've used the outdoors to overcome some form of adversity. I managed to get 30 people that would share their stories. And each person is just an everyday person that you might pass on the street. They're not celebrities. They are lovely human beings that are just the most beautiful people I've ever had the honour to come across. And some have been suffering through suicide. I met Mike, who was one of the three dads walking, Mike Palmer, whose daughter committed suicide during COVID, and he's used the outdoors to raise the awareness of teenage suicides. But, you know, even in the sadness of his story, what was uplifting was how being outdoors has helped him come through such a tragic time of his life. I've met a guy who's gone through gender transition, who has used the outdoors for him to come for realization of who he is and the acceptance of who he is. I met this absolutely remarkable lady called Marika down in Herefordshire, who is blind. She's a very keen walker. And she, with her guide, Angela, who occasionally tells her this about the lay of the land, but Marika has got such confidence in holding on to Angela that very often instructions are not needed. we'd only just set off on the Hergus Ridge, and she said, "Stop, stop." And I'm like, "What on earth's happening?" She said, "Listen." And I couldn't hear a thing. And I said, I'm sorry, Marika, but what am I missing?" And she said, "The skylarks have gone." And it was the fact that it was not necessarily the sound she was hearing, it was the sounds that she wasn't hearing. When we got to the, like a beauty spot, I said, "I'm closing my eyes and imagining what you can see." And she said, "Well, open them, because I've never seen them. But now close your eyes and feel what I can feel. Smell what I can smell. Hear what I can hear. Taste what I could hear." And suddenly my senses opened up to, my goodness, I can taste fresh air. I can taste the atmosphere. I can taste the warmth of the day. And since meeting Marika, she has just opened up my whole, a whole magical world out there that is not just about getting the paces in and getting the steps in. And today I've walked 8 miles. Just that taking in and taking time to absorb the countryside around you, the space around you. And say that there's 30 just absolutely wonderful people that I've met. When people read it, not only are they going to get the walk that I've done, but also the positivity, the humanness of these stories.
So I've come outside into my garden. I've had a little walk today, just a micro walk. Something a lot of my guests have talked about is you don't have to go on a major walk to get the benefits. Sometimes just a micro walk absolutely makes a difference. It could be 15 minutes. I just went once around my park to clear my head because I've been sitting at my desk all day, and I got to see the trees and the leaves are turning and just get a sense of perspective on the day and a break, a reset, as my guest Sue Mott was describing it, a reset. And stretching out the body, because I find when I sit at my desk all day, I get backache and I get like achy legs. So it stretches out my back, prevents me from getting sciatica. Anyhow, Debbie also mentioned that sometimes she just goes out into the garden. So I thought I'd take a leaf out of her book. I'm sitting in my garden. My garden is a mess. But down the bottom, it's really pretty. There's some trees on the other side of the fence, and their leaves are kind of lemon yellow at the moment. I should be able to tell you what sort of trees they are. They're sycamore. No, they're not sycamores. You can tell I'm in the city, right? I think that's a helicopter going over. The trees. So the bark is like pale grey-green, and these beautiful leaves that, as I say, are the colour of lemons. And the sky is a very pale grey, so it's just beautiful colours. And there's a little bit of a breeze that I hadn't noticed, but I can tell there's a breeze because the leaves are shimmering in the breeze. And there's just beautiful shapes of the branches against this beautiful white grey sky. So I thought I'd try the thing that Marika asked Debbie to do, which is to close your eyes, feel what I feel, hear what I hear, and taste what I taste. Now, they were on Hergest Ridge, which is stunning, stunning, stunning piece of landscape and far from human sounds. I'm in London, so let's see how this is for me. I'm just closing my eyes. Immediately, I'm hearing a robin. I love robins. And there's a big hum of kind of random machinery. I'm just going to take a smell now. Doesn't smell too bad, actually. I thought it was going to smell really pollution-y, but actually, I guess because I'm surrounded by trees, it's okay. It's not a fantastic smell. It's not a beautiful smell, but it's not a horrible smell either. So that's good. So the hearing was great. Lots of interesting sounds. The smell was a bit meh. So now I'm just going to feel what I can feel. I think what I'm conscious of is the air temperature on my hands. It's just like a little bit colder. That's actually really nice. It's like a kind of body awareness, being able to hear, being able to feel the temperature of the air on your skin. This feels like a meditation, except that I'm talking. If I wasn't talking, it would feel like a meditation. So those are my two tips for today that I've taken from Debbie and Debbie's interview with Marika is don't beat yourself up if you can't manage a big walk, just a little walk. If you can do one every day, the difference it makes is stunning. And when you are on your walk, or perhaps if you've got a garden or you want to sit in the park, try this exercise. Feel what I can feel, hear what I can hear, and taste what I can taste. Oh, I didn't do that, did I? I didn't do the taste. Hang on, I'm going to do that now. I'm actually not sure how to do that. I like the concept. I'm going to keep trying it. I can't really taste anything right now. But I'm going to try that again. So that's something interesting for you to try on your daily walk. And I really find that these kind of little games, you could call them, for me, they bring an interest to my walk anyway. So if I'm a bit like, oh, I don't want to go for a walk, I'll think, oh, you know what, let me do that hearing, tasting, feeling thing. Let me try that. That'll be good. Or, yeah, let me just sit, close my eyes and listen. So they make the walk more interesting, but also if you do them, I just find I really connect with nature on a much deeper level. And then it's like Debbie said, your senses come alive. You suddenly see things, hear things, taste things you just were not aware of. And it's like, bam, the world goes into this kind of crazy technicolor and the detail and the abundance is just overwhelming in a really great way, in a way that always makes me think how rich nature is. So a micro walk, time to sit down and hear, feel and taste. And as I say, that exercise has left me with a feeling of stillness that is a little bit like a meditation. So highly recommended.
So for people who may be listening, who may have mobility issues, what's your advice?
Visit Access the Dales website, of course. Take the plunge. Do something local to start with. Just visiting your local park and getting some space. When you have done that, you'll realise the benefits of being outdoors. And then you'll be able to maybe go a little bit further, maybe take a bus ride to somewhere, go on the canal and enjoy a boat ride on the canal. Go to your seaside and enjoy a walk on the prom. Just do it. Be brave. Put your big knickers on and get outside. You will feel the benefits immediately.
Thank you, Debbie, for sharing your story with us and showing that the outdoors really can be for everyone. You'll find a link to Debbie's charity, Access the Dales, in the show notes, and I'll be sure to let you know when her new book is out. For now, wherever you are, take a moment to step outside, even just open a window and feel, hear, and taste the world around you.